The federally funded Section 8 housing program is supposed to give low-income tenants a choice of where to live. But in today's New York, it's doing the opposite, and more of those residents are ending up in neighborhoods with already high levels of poverty. Except for the Hasidic community of central Brooklyn. As WNYC's Sidney Rodriguez reports in part two of our series on the program, this insular group of Orthodox Jews has managed to stay put in one of the hottest real estate markets in the city with the help of Section 8.
Near the rumble of the Marcy Avenue L train, Frida Weisel is doing her best to herd a group of senior citizens from a Jewish community center in New Jersey to a spot on a Williamsburg street where she can introduce herself.
My name is Frida. My Yiddish name is Freidi. I grew up in the Satmar Hasidic community.
She gives tours here several times a week because the Hasidim have become a tourist attraction. People want to know how this insular, curious culture from an ancient era has managed to not only fend off assimilation, but thrive in the middle of modern Brooklyn. And there's a question Weisel gets asked a lot.
How do they support themselves? Because maybe you have 9, 10 children, I mean, that's a lot of money. And you said that the rents were high.
Studies say 55% of Hasidic households live below the federal poverty line, nearly triple the rate for the city as a whole.
Most people have less than a high school equivalent of secular education.
They rely heavily on public benefits, including Section 8, the federal housing program that served the nation's poor since the 1970s.
I will tell you that it is a challenge.
In 2014, about 3,300 households in this community paid rent with help from a Section 8 voucher. That's more than twice as many as there were in 2000. It's one of the heaviest concentrations of Section 8 housing in the city, right in the middle of one of the hottest real estate markets in the city, where luxury high-rises overlook expensive waterfront parks and the subway lines reach Midtown in a half hour or so. They've done it through a combination of political influence, aggressive organization, and community members who provide both supply and demand. Queens College professor Sam Heilman wrote a book about the Hasidic community. He says they view social services as theirs for the taking, to help sustain a lifestyle where men devote their time to religious study and women to the home.
These are people who are poor, but they're not beaten down. They're savvy. They have found a way to live with poverty, but not to be impoverished. That's the extraordinary story.
It's a story that stands in stark contrast to the way Section 8 works in the rest of the city, where people with vouchers typically get pushed to the margins because most landlords don't want to rent to them. For the Hasidim,
that's what I'm saying, there's no stigma.
That's Rabbi David Niederman, an influential community leader in Williamsburg. He says most Hasidim see Section 8 as a building block for their community.
Because of the lack of housing, because of the importance of a tight-knit community to be around the religious and communal infrastructure, you see the cluster, they have nowhere to go.
To stay together, the community has created the institutions they need to survive. There's kosher supermarkets and bakeries, clothing stores that sell the long black coats the men wear, internet cafes that filter and censor material. There's a cash economy, informal loan associations, and a lot of self-dealing that's impenetrable to outsiders. And then there's the special housing, designed to serve large families called for by their faith.
You start to see the staggered porches. You start to see these five-story buildings that serve the community needs. They're multi-bedroom apartments.
Weisel is standing on Wallabout Street, a bustling strip that butts up against the northern edge of Bedford-Stuyvesant. It used to be factories and warehouses.
We would be afraid to come out here. Now we can go for a while and still see the same hullabaloo of so many Hasidic people.
Hasids vote in high numbers under guidance from their leaders, so they have a lot of influence with politicians. Throughout the 90s, they aggressively sought zoning variances and received them. Now both condos and Section 8 apartments exist side by side. But this is a community that self-segregates from their secular neighbors, contrary to the goals of Section 8. They shun organic restaurants and coffee bars, even as they search for places to expand their ever-growing flock. Niederman says there are 500 to 600 weddings a year, and these new families have developers willing to build for them. Hasidic men like Simon Dushinsky of the Rabsky Group build high-end luxury housing for the affluent secular world outside the community, But Niederman says they also build cheaper housing for the people inside the community.
There's a language that we can talk and say, look, housing is so scarce. Don't come in over here and basically destroy a neighborhood, okay? Develop something that is available to the local market.
And only to the local market. Beisel points the tourists to a wall of Yiddish signs.
On these walls, you'll see protests about housing being sold to outsiders or the change of scene of people who are contaminating, quote-unquote, the community.
Of course, it's illegal to discriminate against outsiders, and activists have sued. But when few outsiders apply, it's hard to prove they are turned away. The Hasidim are equally united about Section 8. A neighborhood newsletter boasts that several years ago, when the Housing Authority opened its Section 8 waitlist for 90 days, the community turned in 2,000 applications on the first day. And since the vouchers are portable, they don't just apply in New York City. There's a Twitter feed, @Sec8Hamish, that notifies the community whenever housing vouchers get issued upstate, or even in Connecticut and Pennsylvania. In Monticello, 400 vouchers were issued last June, and hundreds of Hasidic men stood in line for hours. It sparked a debate on this Yiddish message board, where one person, using the name Saved, wrote,
"Am I the only one who's bothered? Did the communities which arranged buses and encouraged young people to travel out there ever think of the potential problems and incitement on the part of the local population, which hundreds of out-of-town Hasidim can cause?"
There's nothing illegal about being hyper-organized, but there have been cases of fraud. One man used a Section 8 voucher while owning a stake in 4 different properties. Another man rented from his brother, so they both benefited from the same voucher, earning them both a short stint in jail. Of course, fraud like this happens all over the city, especially in an overheated real estate market, and the Hasidic community feels that, too. Bursting at the seams in Brooklyn, people pick up and move, and they take their vouchers with them. Bloomingburg in Sullivan County is the new frontier for the Hasidic community, but even the more established communities are still growing. Dushan, a mover, was recently unloading a truck for a family who just moved to the Orange County village of Curious Joel.
They're moving. They're from Brooklyn. They move up here a lot now.
He's been moving people for 37 years.
But now, it's a lot more than before. Yeah, it's always more faster now.
They head north with their communities intact and Section 8 intact, too. For WNYC, I'm Cindy Rodriguez.
Our series on Section 8 was produced with our data news team and support from a grant by the Urban Reporting Program at the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism. For more information, visit us at WNYC.org.